Now you know this ain't a secret group that's on the Facebook. Here you'll hear the boozy news. Call all your drinking crews, put down the drugs and booze. You come in the room, no timing, or you're coming new. Shelly, Mark, and Bruce, they give the wisest news. Rock bottom, bought your time, bought new attitude. Yeah, reppin' rule 62. After meetings, what you do when the sharing's through? Like these three, you might visit your best coffee house. Kick your feet up in a meetup, lay your vocals down. Find a topic pulled from decades of experience. See druggies in their huggies showing nothing close to common sense. Have some true blue funny conversation. Then send that shit bit by bit across the Attic Nation. Yeah, and you know what's coming. Number one fan Fran, and she's humming. Recovery, recovery, recovery. 101 recovery, recovery, recovery. 101 recovery, recovery, recovery. 101.
Thank you once again to Noah for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRDRAHAFACMA, or the Oscars, which were happening
even as we speak.
Right. I'm going to make a prediction.
Go ahead, predict.
I'm going to say, and I can't remember his name, from the movie Moonlight, the black guy, he's going to win Best Supporting Actor. Just making that as just a clear
Ali
guess.
Ali M. I can't remember.
Well, he won the Golden Globes and all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to say when we were having barbecue that they were playing the Oscars in the background. I might have actually seen that one.
But you wouldn't remember.
No. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce. My name is Bob. As always with
Shelley.
And Mark.
Yeah. Shelley, tell him why I might say my name is Bob.
Well, Bruce had a little bit of a catastrophically low blood sugar today.
I'm a diabetic, for those that don't know.
And he'd gotten up and got himself breakfast, and I was, you know, gathering the boozy news, checking emails. I've got a million accounts I got to check now, and generally doing my Sunday crap. And finally, around 2:20, I thought, ooh, it's getting late and he's not up. I better go get him up so he doesn't have a low blood sugar. Because he sleeps late because on Sundays because he doesn't have to work and because he was up late doing some stuff for our friend James. I go in there. He's covered in sweat, kind of looking a little comatose. And I thought, oh, crap. So I got him some juice and then a little bit of applesauce. He still wasn't coming around. So I shot him with glucagon and...
Glucagon, yes.
Checked his blood sugar. He was 35. Yeah.
Pre-digested calories or something.
Checked his blood sugar. He was 35. Gave him some more food. But he started getting into that semi-conscious coherent thing. So I was trying to check and see if he still had any brain cells left.
Yeah. And?
I said, do you know your name? Yes. What is your name? Bob.
Bob. Like,
okay.
Oh, okay.
So he still had the same number of brain cells as always.
Exactly. Yeah. So a few minutes later I said.
Six.
I was trying to get him to eat some more applesauce. And I said, come on, Bob, eat some more applesauce. And he looked at me and said, I know my name. And he's like, it's
Bob.
Bruce. But no, the damage was done. He's now Bob.
That's awesome that you got it on the second try.
You know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid that I will be like a light bulb. You know, light bulbs burn brightly right before they burn out.
Uh-huh.
Because I have like 3 or 4 good brain cells left after my drug and alcohol abuse, and I'm thinking that I'm burning them right now. What I'm really afraid of...
Shine bright like a diamond.
What I'm really afraid of is that someday... You know, they say you only use like 5% of your brain's power or whatever. Someday... I think that all the brain cells I burnt have been in the other 95%.
Oh, okay.
And someday they're going to figure a way to unlock the other 95%.
And you're not going
to
get any smarter.
I'm only going to be using like 16%, and everyone else is going to be absolutely brilliant. And I'm going to be like,
You just have to get by on your sparkling personality.
That would be different. How?
It won't be. It won't be. Yeah, I only use 16% of my 5%, so there you go.
I don't know. Sometimes there's some amusement to be had when he's all loopy like that, but at the same time, It got a little terrifying at one point, and I was about to call 911 because he just wasn't coming up. But then he finally did come up, and now he's high.
Couldn't remember the number?
No, it's just I was, because he started trying to come out of it, and I told him I was going to call 911, and he said, no, don't do that.
She's seen me before like this.
Yeah.
And you know what she does? She uses my low brain power as a time to start asking me questions. Why don't you tell him about that, Shelley?
He had a really low blood sugar one night. And I knew he was coming out of it because he was starting to talk. And I thought since his guard was down, that would be a good time to ask some pertinent questions. So I asked him, you know, have you ever cheated on your wife? No. Do you love your wife? Yes. What is my name? Missy.
Bob.
And I was like, Missy? Missy what? Missy Grasshog. Because he, some part of his brain had seen the weed whacker on the wall in the garage, oh, which is called a grasshog. So then my name was Missy Grasshog.
Perfect.
Yeah.
How was your week?
My week's been busy.
Any radically low blood sugars?
My blood sugars have been in the 110 to 125 range in the morning and 90 to 105 in the afternoons.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So what's happened this week? Yeah, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Just a lot of work stuff, you know, getting work stuff done. And
Mark has a brilliant job for a former alcoholic addict.
I do.
And
I'm director of operations for a winery franchise company.
Nice. That'd be like me being director of operations for a crack house.
Well, although, you know, you do well at that now. Because you don't...
I do well at it for a while.
I think you do well at it for as long as you...
Don't sample the product.
But, I mean, I don't know when the last time is you ate a bed.
Never.
So, you know, it's like, you know the allergy.
That I'm well acquainted. We're like best friends.
Yeah. So as long as you don't get down to 26 blood sugar and lose your track of your head.
Yeah. One time when I was living by myself, I took the wrong shot in the morning. I have a large amount of this long-acting, and some of this time-release stuff I take, uh-huh, and a little bit of this Axe Right Now. And right after I had stuck the syringe in me, I said, I think I might have just taken 50 units of regular and 8 units of long-acting. And I called my doctor, and he says, do you have any milk or orange juice? And I said, yes. He goes, I want you to take it with you. I want you to drive straight to the hospital. And they'll be waiting for you.
Yep.
And I get there, and they immediately hook you up to like this IV of D50 or whatever, dextrose 50. And they're testing my blood sugar. And even though I'm getting sugar going straight into my vein, my blood sugar's 80 when I get there, and then it's 60, then it's 50, then it's 40, and they're whacking with glucagon and everything. I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, don't do that. He goes, you know.
Yeah.
He says, I'd rather have your blood sugar, in your case, be slightly higher. And I go, why? And he goes, well, you can get complications from slightly higher, but you don't get brain dead from slightly higher. So I think I'm just this side of brain dead right now.
You're being optimistic.
It's been a long haul.
Rule 62, for today, baby.
Yeah.
Recovery should be celebrated. At my12stepstore.com, celebrate your life with the most unique gifts for all 12-step programs. My12stepstore.com carries a wide range of inspirational and program books, t-shirts, chips, medallions, 12-step jewelry, and so much more. For you or someone you love, visit My 12-Step Store in West Hollywood or shop online at my12stepstore.com. We ship to the world. My12stepstore.com, where love meets service.
You know what that means.
What, Bruce, what?
It's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
D
Yes, it's going to be a good one. I have a feeling.
I got a feeling. Okay.
I'm believing. That's a good song by David Hasselhoff, actually. It's got, right. It has a brilliant freaking video. It's like a total tongue-in-cheek. It's flipping hilarious.
Well, I don't know exactly what happened. We have shout-outs to Fran and Bill. That's it.
Nobody else commented or anything this week?
I sent news.
Oh, yeah, you sent news. Well, yeah, but you're here.
Okay.
I don't know what happened, but we have zero Podomatic notifications. So I don't know.
Oh, I know.
Why?
I deleted them all.
So everyone who sent something in or sent in or made a comment or whatever that did not get a shout out for the next two shows, it is Bruce's fault because he deleted them.
I know that Lee and Stryker, I mean the normal cast of characters actually.
You deleted the comments?
The guy Lee? No, I didn't delete the comments from the site.
The notifications?
I deleted the notifications that we got comments.
When I do the Boozy News, I go to the Gmail account and all the Podomatic notifications normally come there, so I just pull the names out of there.
I know that Lee, who has posted comments on almost every show.
And Stryker.
Well, yeah, like all like the normal cast of characters, all those guys. Jack and John and Sally and
Neil and Georgette
and a bunch. I'm still a little.
This is like watching the Hobo Kelly Show.
Cartoon Ho. You know what? Yeah. Only people in this area will know what that is, though, and only
that are over the age of 50.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to step back. At least 45. I know.
I remembered my glasses this time.
Hey,
That makes it easier to read, doesn't it?
Yes, very much easier. Okay. Well, we have two. The first two stories are rather sad. Bill Paxton passed away due to complications from surgery today.
Yeah, saw that.
It's very sad. I remember him in Weird Science was one of my favorite movies that he was in. And Apollo 13, he was in that one. Yeah.
Now I know.
Wyatt or Tombstone?
Tombstone. He was Morgan. Yeah. He played Morgan.
Titanic.
Was he on Titanic?
He was the bad guy, wasn't he?
No, he was in Titanic. No, he was the oceanographer at the beginning who had found the
Titanic.
Right.
I know. I had to think for that for a minute. He was in Titanic?
Yeah. Well, you forget about those people.
Yeah.
You know, because that's not real. Well, and the funny thing is it's really what the story is about.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about him.
But the 90% of the movie is the actual Titanic sinking and that stupid love story.
I actually just watched two episodes of his new series yesterday.
Oh, yeah, he was in Big Love, too.
Yeah, yes, he was.
That's where he is. But he has a new one, a crime thing?
Yeah, Training Day, a TV series based upon the Denzel Washington Ethan Hawke movie.
Oh.
It's good. Sad he's gone because it's a good series.
Little bit of trivia. Bill Paxton is the only actor ever to have been killed by the Terminator, the Predator, and Alien.
Yep.
How about that? Yeah.
Yep.
It's kind of a weird dubious.
It is. It's a weird
honor.
Little bit of trivia, but okay. Let's see. In Los Angeles, this is the second sad story. Daryl Easton, also 61. A very popular world-class magician Daryl Easton.
Daryl Easton. He's a magician at the
Magic
Castle.
Yeah, he was found hanged in a closet at the Magic Castle.
Was he trying to do a trick?
No.
That went wrong?
Oh. No, actually, yesterday the story was much more sensational than the actual report is. He was fully clothed. Originally, they said he was in his underwear with a bag over his head. They think it was an accident that he...
Wait, how do you accidentally hang yourself?
They said it was ruled an accident. Maybe he was trying to figure out a trick and something went wrong. It doesn't. They're not releasing any other details yet. When you're a magician, what?
You could probably accidentally hang yourself trying to do something.
Houdini actually almost drowned himself. Yeah. So there you go.
Possibly, but he was actually. They called him the magician's magician. He was quite popular, has worked for 40 years consistently as a magician, notably in Vegas. He's done a lot of shows in Vegas and has helped create illusions for film and television.
But what? Was he killed by Alien, Predator, and Terminator?
No.
Second place.
Second place.
Jeez, holy crap. James Linder, 36 years old. This was in Zion, and I don't know which Zion. It's
probably Utah.
No, well, there's a lot of Zions. There's Zion, Utah, Zion, Ohio. I'm thinking this was, and the story doesn't say.
Well, Zion in Utah
Zion,
is in a
Florida.
City. Yeah, it's on a Florida!
Thank
it's you. Not a city. It's a national park.
Okay, well,
in
whatever.
Utah.
He was convicted last month of drug-induced homicide in the overdose death of Danielle Barzik.
Was he the dealer?
He was the dealer, yes. He sold it to the woman's boyfriend, though, who then handed it to her, and they shot up.
Now,
we have a conspiracy now.
OD'd.
But did she OD because it was bad dope, or did she OD because it was super potent dope, or did she OD because she doesn't know how to do dope?
She took too much. It was just, it wasn't one
of
the ones.
So all of the above.
Yeah, basically. It wasn't one of the ones that was like laced with carfentanil or anything like that. It was.
I disagree with that.
But it's one of the first times that a drug dealer, he got 28 years.
See, I disagree with that. I mean, certainly if you get caught for dealing drugs, you get whatever you get for dealing drugs. But I don't know that you can be responsible that someone overdoses.
Yeah, that's like convicting the guy who sold the bullets.
It's like convicting the guy that sold you a car because you got in a drunk driving wreck.
Yeah, a lot happened after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, her boyfriend, who actually handed her the heroin, he was the one who bought it.
Accessory to murder?
Got 6 months.
Yeah, he got 3 years probation and time served.
And time served?
Uh-huh. Well, he was already in jail for something else.
Oh.
Oh, so this was an unusual event by an upstanding citizen.
Yeah. So, and I don't really agree with that. And there's probably going to be some upheaval over this, I think, in Florida, because Linder, the drug dealer, was black. He gets 28 years. The boyfriend and the girl are white. He gets 3 years probation and time served.
I will go on record that for my part with Recovery 101, I think the guy got screwed.
Yeah,
the dealer.
I do too, because that's...
Because just for dealing, you could go for quite a while.
Yeah.
But I don't know why they need to add it with murder, right? Or
Oh yeah.
Here's what I don't get.
He got
murder. Don't you have to show that someone's intending to kill someone?
That's first degree.
It's called drug induced homicide.
That's different than murder. Mm. Same result.
If anything, it seems like the boyfriend should get that.
I would think, but I am not the judge. But I would not have given him 28 years.
Here come the judge.
Maybe I should be the judge.
That's right.
Flip Wilson reference.
Yeah. The devil made me buy this dress.
I wonder how many people listening to the show know who Flip Wilson is.
Oh, I loved Flip Wilson. I loved that show when
I was a kid. My aunt and uncle ran into him in Wairika one time. He was at a gas station, and cousin Susan got to meet him. She was so excited.
I would have run up to him and screamed, "If I'd have known you was coming, I'd have stayed at home." Because all of Geraldine's lines were like things I said when I was a little kid.
What was the most famous Geraldine line? You got to know
which one?
I know
I'm trying to pick one.
The most. The one that you
What do you
heard?
Think it is?
The devil made me do it.
Yeah.
No, the devil made me buy this dress.
It was the devil made me lots of things, so.
Oh, well, maybe
the devil made me do it. That's one that came to mind for me. But I wasn't asked to contribute to this part of the story, so.
I figured you'd get it.
Okay.
I had it.
I
thought I was going to get a turn, but okay.
Since she had just said that she quoted all those quotes, I figured she would know.
No, I was just wondering which one you thought was the best. Okay, we have a hero of the week.
Kazoos provided by
Bill Piper. Now, this is actually a slightly older story, late last summer. And you can look up the video on YouTube. It's friggin' hilarious. Matt Buck is
you
our hero here. This happened in South Carolina during a KKK march down the streets of South Carolina.
Was he in the march?
No, he was not. They were marching toward the state house. Matt Buck who does not believe that the KKK should exist and thinks they're complete asshats, as do most people in this country, thought that it would be a wonderful way to welcome them to the State House if he marched with them on their parade and played the Sousa all the way. Polka music. So you've got the KKK marching along with their other stuff, and he's walking along with them going, and it's going, bam, 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 bam. It's the most hilarious thing. And then
Don't say anything to him?
You know what? That they're irritated.
A lot of these guys probably think, oh, you know, the average KKK guy is like, oh, they must have hired this guy to go with us.
Not playing this kind of music, because it was like hilarious. And at one point he broke into the Ride of the Valkyries, but on a Sousa, which is like sort of like a slightly toned down tuba. So it's this guy with this giant tuba thing. It was hilarious. And then the best part is his girlfriend or wife or mother, whoever this woman is, she's off camera, but she's walking with him. She keeps saying things like, well, that family tree's done lost a few branches. That is stupid as stupid does right there, people. I mean, you can hear her screaming at heckling them. It was hilarious.
Their family tree goes in a straight line.
My family,
you know what they do?
Family tree is a totem pole.
You know what they do? Oh. They go to the family reunion to pick up chicks.
That's it.
Yeah, so I just thought that was hilarious. I thought, good for you, Matt Buck. Okay. Carry on.
All right, well, I got a second hero of the week then, since we're doing the hero of the week stories.
Okay, go ahead.
A shout out to the hero of the week, my sister Diane.
Oh, what happened?
She spent the last 2 years developing a program for the county that she works for. Went up to Sacramento this week and got it fully funded to take care of trauma victims of human trafficking.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's really cool.
Good for her. Good for us.
Yes. So,
isn't it nice when your family members use their powers for good?
I know.
Awesome.
My parents keep, or my family keeps wanting to see if I'm going to do that someday, but, you know. Fran sent this story in. Yangon, Myanmar, and whatnot.
Oh, is that the...
That's the place.
The city and country.
Yes, Myanmar.
We broadcast there,
all right,
by the way.
That's the place and not the name of the person who the story's about?
Right.
There's like eight people in Myanmar that listen.
A Buddhist monk, well, I don't know what the monk's name is because it's not listed in the story. No. However, Maung Maung Ying, who was head
of... I'm glad you're doing this busy news because I wouldn't have a chance.
Said that he was head of the anti-drug task force, said that a Buddhist monk was found in possession of more than 4 million methamphetamine pills. They were in packages in his car and in his monastery. I'm thinking maybe they're, because the story was translated, that maybe they're thinking speed.
Yeah, clearly.
It was in a truckload of limes.
No, well, they were just in big packages in his car and in the monastery itself.
Well, I was going to say, 4 million of them, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Even pill size, you'd fill your car with
that. I'm a monk. Aren't the first words out of my mouth, I found these and was bringing them to the police station?
Yes, I was coming to turn these in.
That would have worked for the ones in his car.
I've been storing them at the monastery to make sure they didn't go out on the street.
Hmm, okay.
Next to the two dead hookers that I found.
And the cocaine.
A street value of upwards of $4.2 million.
That's about right. Buck a pill.
Buck a pill?
Yeah.
I think they're wrong on that. Well, maybe over there, because over here, that's probably more like $2.
Well, now, the story also says Myanmar is a major producer of methamphetamine, usually smuggled from the Northeast to neighboring countries. I'm quoting the story.
You know what? Maybe they were like, they say pills, but maybe they were like capsules or something. You could open them up and pour them out.
And snort them?
I don't know. Maybe.
Slam them?
I don't know, but...
I would.
This was a monk doing this, and the monastery... said this is not a very common case. It is not but it is not impossible to happen.
Wait.
What will
it's
happen?
It's not very common, meaning it's happened before.
Maybe it says what will happen.
We have a broken arrow.
the director of the monastery was quoted as saying, "What will happen to the monk is that he will have to give up his monkhood right away and face trial as an ordinary person."
What do monks?
Is the trial different as a monk?
That's what I was going to say.
Don't know.
He makes it sound that way.
He does.
No diplomatic immunity for you.
God will judge.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Now I wanted to go to New Orleans. Bill sent this story in. Pickup truck plowed. This happened yesterday. Actually,
Mardi Gras time.
Yeah, Mardi Gras. Uh-oh. Pickup truck plowed into the intersection of Orleans and Carrollton Avenue
on purpose,
injuring 21 people.
I've been there.
Fortunately, no one died. No, it wasn't. They say it's not terrorism.
No,
the suspect was highly intoxicated.
Well, remember the. I think it was last year. The gal who on purpose went along the strip in Vegas.
Yeah.
And plowed a bunch of people. And I remember I was reading on Facebook. You know, I'm a big Second Amendment guy, but I don't have myself, but you know, people always say, you know, cars are more dangerous. Since no one ever uses cars to do something like that. And then like the day after, some guy in Paris or something rammed a truck through a bunch of people on purpose. And then this chick in Vegas, and it's like, all right, well, it looks like we're going to have to.
So not does the car dealer get sentenced to 28 years
in
prison?
That's what I
want to
know.
That's a good question.
The guy that sold him the car?
Since we're creating that precedent.
Maybe the guy who sold him the car, the guy who made the car.
Some poor guy in Detroit's doing 28 years now.
The guy who made the car's kid, because he wouldn't be working that job if he didn't have a kid to support. It's his fault.
Oh, my God. It's the grandfather's fault.
I knew it'd come back to being the government's fault somehow.
If the grandfather had never had the son that produced the car. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
It's Henry Ford's fault.
This is almost like an episode of Back to the Future.
It is, almost.
If we could go back in time, we could kind of erase that guy from the picture.
There are several people in critical condition, but no one is expected to perish from the incident. One police officer was struck because...
That's cool to use perish in New Orleans.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, huh? Yeah, perish. Huh?
Can you imagine the cop? Because a cop got hit too,
yes.
Right? Cop puts his hand up for the guy to stop, not so much.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Let's see...
We need something more effective than my right hand to get cars to stop.
Okay.
That's how long it lasts, Bruce.
I was just thinking
just
that.
Lose
I,
your
I just
ash.
Said to myself,
that's
gonna,
how long.
I go, that ash looks really good right there. I said, I should probably dump it, but let me just see.
Yeah, that's exactly
his ash
how
fell
long.
Off.
Fortunately, it fell in one chunk.
Yeah. Bruce lost his ash.
And this last one was sent in, but well, maybe it's not the last one. We'll see. Bill sent this one in. In Manchester, England, Cryotherapy UK is offering a service called Love Mist.
Love Mist.
It involves freezing men and women's private parts to boost their endorphins and sex drive.
Whoa, what?
Apparently.
I don't know about you.
It'll keep you hard.
I don't know about you, but when I get really cold, I won't be very impressive.
But it's.
To the female part.
Gives a whole new turn to stiffy, huh?
Yeah.
Apparently, according to these therapists, the cryotherapists in the UK, which, by the way, cryotherapy, if you're looking for this in the US, does not exist yet because it hasn't been approved by the FDA.
Not sure I want it to with what they're doing.
Yeah.
Experts say that cryotherapy, which involves air, I'm quoting the story here, as cool as -264 degrees Fahrenheit.
That would burn.
That sounds like a really bad idea.
Can even heal injuries in athletes. Basically, you go in, it's a 30-minute treatment. It costs about $50 US, $50, which is $63.
If you remain hard for more than 4 hours, do you have to call your doctor?
Your agent.
Call your agent. It blasts chili vapor over your genitals through a liquid nitrogen tank.
Why?
That's a really bad idea.
Why?
I'm telling you.
It says that when the Sub-Zero stuff, when it covers your skin, the sudden drop stimulates blood flow.
But it's frozen.
I'm just saying.
You know there's some guy at the FDA going, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah. Hey, never hey guys. Hey, guys. What? Hey. Let's approve that.
Well, in October of 2015, at the end of the story, it says Fox News reported that a 24-year-old Nevada woman died after freezing to death in a cryotherapy chamber at an unlicensed spa in Las Vegas.
Might
have been other things involved.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yes.
And not the woman dying, but the whole let's freeze your genitals and see if that gets you excited.
We shouldn't have even heard about that story, though. You know what happens in Vegas?
Stays in Vegas. Yeah.
You know what'll happen? It'll give you a hard-on. The problem is your hard-on's only going to be an inch and a half long.
And it falls off.
Yeah, don't bump into anything. Crack.
Oh.
With no leg crossing time.
I know.
If you've got that kind of crack problem, you're really in trouble. Yeah.
And finally, Bill sent this one in, too, keeping with the whole sex theme here.
Sure.
In Fresno, California, there was a place, there was a restaurant called the Silver Dollar Hofbräu. It was once some kind of landmark in Fresno. I don't know. It was a restaurant. But it is now vacant. It's been vacant for a while. When along comes Larry Flynt's Hustler Hollywood, who buys the building and is going to revamp it and open an adult novelty store.
They just did that in West Covina. They bought what used to be Leeds Mattress, and before that was a piano store, and before that was the old Waterbed place, Waterbed Gallery.
Uh-huh.
And now it's
a Hustler store.
So they were
right by the movie theater?
Right at the end of Sunset. Okay. Right at the end of the off ramp.
So they bought purchased the plot and the building, started, they got all the permits, got everything approved, started renovating it. 5 days into the job, the building gets red tagged. No work can be done because the Fresno City Council decided that they were going to change the law ex post facto and refuse to allow any adult entertainment venues.
And Larry Flynt doesn't like to sue anybody.
Can you even do that once someone's already bought and leased the property and all
the
that?
The saga will continue.
Yes, it will continue because Hustler...
He's going to sue and he's going to win.
Actually, I'm wrong. They didn't buy the building. They signed a 10-year lease with the property owner.
This is okay.
So now they've got an empty building that they're not making any money on,
but
and they're paying rent
the
on.
But they had the permits.
They had... Yeah, they had started renovations.
They're
going to
sue
it,
and they're going
to
win.
Because the law was prior to that day, prior to all of this, if 25% of the store or less contained sexually explicit material, that's not including like decorations or just a picture of a woman's face or those mannequins with the underwear in them or whatever, we're talking porn. If 25% or less of the store's available square footage contains sexually explicit material, then it's up to code. It's you can do that.
And I'll bet it is because I don't know if you've ever been into a Hustler store. There is not a lot of porn in there, but there's a lot of lingerie. There's a lot of this. Well, actually, there's a lot of toys, too.
And Larry Flynt is the type of guy who's going to go ahead and say, well, I got a warehouse that's empty. Let's start shooting porns there.
Yeah, well.
Is he still alive?
I thought he died.
I don't know.
Did Larry die?
I'm not sure.
At any rate, the city did change the ordinance after all of this was signed and sealed, and according to several lawyers, says that if Hustler decides they want to go forward with their plans, they will sue the city and they will win.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because you can't do that.
As we said.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Hey everyone, it's Bruce from Recovery 101 Radio. Hey, I'm here to talk about my 12-step store. Let me tell you guys, my 12-step store is the ultimate place, online or in person in West Hollywood, to buy recovery gifts no matter what program you're interested in. They've got bling chips, they've got regular chips, they've got medallions, they've got books of every kind. They've got every kind of recovery gift you can even think of. This place is absolutely fantastic. Let me tell you something. A bit of every sale goes to sponsor people to get into recovery homes and sober living houses. It's an awesome place. RJ and his staff will take outstanding care of you. My 12-step store is located online, of course, at my12stepstore.com. If you'd like to go visit them in person, they're at 8730 Santa Monica Boulevard in the fabulous city of West Hollywood, California. You can call them at 310-623-1702. That's one more time. That's 310-623-1702. You should call them up. Do yourself a favor, and the ones you love, call my12stepstore.com.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
What's up?
What's up, Shelly? Shelly got a topic.
What?
Shelly's got a topic.
Right place at the right time.
Oh, yes. We were talking about this last night.
What happened?
Yeah, Bruce came up with the title, Right Place at the Right Time, because we were last night. We were coming back. We decided to go to coffee because it wasn't exactly below freezing. But it wasn't raining, so we went to coffee, and we were coming back. It was late. It was like 11:30. And we had to stop at the grocery store, and we got, you know, soda and coffee and stuff. That's about it. A couple of things. We're checking out, and the guy behind us, I forget what you said to him, something about, well, it looks like he's having a better time than we are because he's got this big, you know, half gallon of vodka or Seagram's or whatever it was.
Seagram's.
Yeah, it was Seagram's because it had the knobbly bottle. And there was some kind of interchange. And,
well, I'll tell you what it was.
Yeah, you tell the interchange because I forget that part.
I see this guy, and you know, we've just bought, you know, soda and stuff, and I go, oh, you're clearly going to have a better time than us. And he goes, well, I'm going to try and make this last the weekend. And I said, oh, I used to do that before I quit drinking. And we were walking
out,
guy literally leans way over and goes, how'd you quit drinking? I go, AA. So we go walking out and I'm like, tell me that guy's not thinking about it, right? So we go all the way and we go and get in the car, and Shelly,
I turn the car over. I'm about to pull out and I hear vaguely, because I got the windows up, this guy saying, hey, hey, hey. And I look over and there's the guy. And I roll down the window. He said, hey, can I, and he pointing at Bruce, he said, can I talk to you for a minute, man? And 25 minutes later, because Bruce will talk forever about recovering, I fished through the glove box and found a directory.
Good.
Put a couple of our recovery business cards in there.
Good.
Told him to call us. But it was just, it was one of those times, you know, as we're pulling away, Bruce, like, I'm sorry that took so long. I'm like, no, that's the whole purpose of what we do.
It's what we do.
Yeah.
And remember when I said, when we were walking out of the store, I said, oh, that guy's thinking about recovery for sure. And when he came up to the car, he's like, you know, I'm going to try and manage this, you know, and he's like, but I have a really hard time.
How's that work for you?
Oh, no, one of the first things he said is, well, you know, I heard that the cravings never go away.
That's,
and Shelly and I look at each other and go, that's bullshit.
No, that's not true.
I said, the cravings will go away.
And I told him, I said, you know, it's been about 9.5 years, almost 10 years, no cravings for me. Because at the beginning it was,
and he's
I had,
10
before I surrendered.
Years? He's like, 10 years?
I know.
And she's like, he's got,
well,
27.
And he went, damn. Like, it was, and then he's going on and on, because we told him, you know, about, we told him, go ahead and listen to the podcast and come out. We gave him some, go to this meeting, or, you know, have you heard of,
he lives in interestingly enough, this guy lives in Glendora.
He's buying booze
he's
and coffee.
He's buying his booze.
And Shelly, why was he doing that?
Because that was the particular store that was on the rotation.
Yes.
So that he wouldn't look like an alcoholic to all the people he buys booze from.
And the other thing is, because there is a Vons in Glendora.
Yeah.
Sure.
On Foothill Boulevard. So why you would drive, instead of going to the Vons right around the corner from you, where everyone's going to see you possibly buy it, where you probably buy a large percentage of your alcohol anyway. You got to go to the next city away. Because when he said he lived in Glendora, the first thing I thought is, that's a long way to go buy booze, since there is a variety pack of liquor stores and grocery stores in Glendora.
Makes perfect sense to me, because you've got to have a large enough stable of places where you can buy liquor so that you don't look like an alcoholic.
There's a BevMo in Glendora.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right across from where City Hall and stuff is, right? Is that where they put it?
No, there's a BevMo over by the movie theater by Sam's Club.
Oh, yeah. So, Mark.
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point it's happened. You've been somewhere, sometime, someone talking about, you know, I don't know, some weird thing where you run into someone who is looking for recovery or needs recovery, and you happen to be the one that, for
it's
some reason,
there.
Is Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, it happened to me not long ago with F.A.
With who?
With F.A.
Oh, F.A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, where walked in and saw some friends that I hadn't seen in a while. Anybody I haven't seen in a while.
By the way, God's calling.
Pretty close, my son.
Pretty close.
So, you know, and if you haven't seen me in 6 months, then
You're going to go, wow.
Yeah.
Dude, I can see a difference in you almost every time I see you.
Yeah, well, you see me once a week.
So if you haven't seen someone in 6 months, it's how many pounds later?
55.
55 pounds later. You know, if you haven't seen someone a long time, they lose 55 pounds, you notice instantly.
Yeah, and, you know, and the thing comes up with people about how'd you do it? You know, I gave up flour, sugar, and quantities. Oh, I need to do that. And I usually have a...
Let me show you how to do it.
I usually have a trifold somewhere in the near vicinity of me for the meetings and the program, and I just hand it to them, and you should check it out. You know, it's easy enough to do.
That's awesome.
Just have to want it. And, you know, so it comes up, and you're grateful when you are there to be able to plant the seed.
Shelley?
Mm-hmm.
You used to work at the library.
Yes, I don't know what it is about our kind, but when I would sit on the reference desk, sometimes people would come up to me, and they always came to me. They never went to anybody else. I've got an invisible sign that says drunk.
Alcoholic.
Yeah, on my forehead or something. I don't know what it is, but they always came to me and said, and they were always whispering because, well, it's a library, but at the same time,
right.
You know, and they always say, do you know where they have those alcoholic classes? And... I would say, why, yes, I do.
Yeah, you want to learn how to drink? Go to Clancy's.
But what I'd do is I'd always come out from behind the desk and take them over to, and for just in case anybody is listening that's new, this is the number you go to, 613.8 is where the books on addiction and alcoholic and recovery and stuff are. And I'd take them over there and talk to them about it a little bit because there's hardly anybody ever over there.
And you try to find the big book for them that somebody stole?
Well, yeah. Well, sometimes it was stolen, but we usually had like 3 or 4 copies, so there would usually always be at least one on the shelf.
Library have basic text as well?
Yep, basic text. They've got the MA book. They had the OA book. They had the books on addiction and recovery go on for like 9 shelves. I mean, it's a chunk, and it's not just alcohol and drugs because there are other things that are left. But it starts with alcohol at 613.8. And then moves on through other things. Yes. For alcohol.
I love the thing Craig Ferguson was doing a pitch, and his monologue was completely about his alcoholism. And he never says AA at all. But at the end of his thing, he's talking about, and he says, and you know, if you're needing, because he's Scottish, you know, he's like, you know, if you're needing to have help with your alcoholism, you know, you can look us up you can look these guys up in the phone book. They're way up front. They're way up front in the A's.
Yeah.
And he looks and he kind of winks. He goes, there might even be 2 of them in a row. You know?
Yep.
Now, so right time, right place can be a lot of different things, too. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had people be in the right place at the right time for me. My daughter and I go to Julian, California. I think I mentioned this not long ago. And, you know, Julian, little tiny, tiny town. But I'm like, I wonder if there's a meeting here. And I walk into a local coffee shop, because that's where you always go if you're looking for a meeting. And I said, you know, guys know there's any meetings? The guy goes, yeah, we got one here. I mean, that guy, for me, because he happened to be the guy that ran the meeting. There's other people that work there that are not in Alcoholics Anonymous at all.
But I got to believe that if you hadn't found a meeting, you'd have been okay. You weren't like...
Oh, I probably would have been okay, yeah.
I had a right time, right place situation for me. Here at the house.
I knew that was coming.
And this is why James will forever be the albatross around my neck. Not once, but twice. On 2 different days within a week and a half of each other. Because I was really shaky. It was in the first 6 months before I had my little relapse. Where I was going to drink. And I'd gone and bought those. My nemesis is those cute little airline bottles. Poured the drink, and suddenly James busts through the door, and I'm like, whoa! Pour it down the sink, and he smells it. And then he takes me to task, and he's tired. But twice he did that. And I hadn't actually gotten to drink it. So, you know, that's a god shot.
You have a great one for right time at the right place at a hot tub.
Yeah, I was, I've told the story many times. I was... helping a friend deliver some furniture, and I think I had 6-7 weeks, maybe,
yeah, like
8 weeks.
New.
Yeah, I mean, it really new. And we carried a coffee table into this woman's house and set it down, and she says, I was just getting in the hot tub and untied her dress, which dropped to the floor, and she went and jumped in the hot tub and pulled a big mirror full of cocaine out from behind the faux rock in the corner of the hot tub. And I ended up going into the bathroom and dropping down and praying.
You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm like, God, get me out of here. Because
what to do if there's a naked woman in a hot tub with a bunch of cocaine.
Yeah. Yeah, go get down on your knees and pray.
Yeah.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, it works both ways.
Yeah, that's right. That works so bad. That works.
You're either thanking or praying for saving.
70% of the time that happened, that works every time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the friend I had gone with knocked on the door and while I was on my knees praying for God to get me out of there and said, let's get out of here. And we literally went out the front door and split.
And he not in the program, right?
He was my old dealer.
Right, but but not in the program,
no.
But he knew you were.
Yeah.
So it's not even necessarily it has to
somebody
be
someone
in the program that saves you. Mm-hmm. I was telling the guy, actually, outside of this Vons, I said, you know, I got a call once at 1:30 in the morning from a guy who says, and I was in the right place at the right time because I happened to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And the guy says, hey, I'm sitting out in front of a bar right now, and I really don't want to drink, but man, I really think I'm going to go in there and drink. And I'm like, don't do anything. I'm like, you got your car? You sure? He goes, I don't have my car. And I said, I'm going to keep you on the phone till 2, till I know they're closed. I'm going to come and get you. Where are you? He's in freaking Bakersfield.
Well, it took you till 2 to get there.
He's in freaking Bakersfield, and he doesn't have his car. And I'm like, I tell Shelly, I'm going to Bakersfield. And this is back when I worked at Earthlink, because I had to go to Bakersfield. I got there.
It was a little after closing the last time I heard from you.
Yeah.
Because your phone died because you were on the phone the whole time.
Yeah. I got there well after
2.
It was like 2:45 or something. So I didn't get back here till about 4. And, you know, I'm getting up to go to work and be at work at 7.
You could have gone to breakfast and taken him to a meeting.
But... You know, and you too, like, for instance, you work a helpline.
Yep.
Like I do.
Yep.
Every time you answer the phone, it's the right time.
The right time,
the right place.
Yep.
Now, Shelly, do you have any other experiences where you have been the person that happened to hear something and someone say something and you happen to comment on it or something?
I'm sure I have. I'm trying to think.
You used to... I don't know if this is exactly right time and right place, but I guess if someone's looking for recovery, didn't you used to put meeting lists or something in the addiction books?
I used to put the directories in between the books on addiction and alcoholism, and they disappeared.
Well, and you know what? For someone, it was the right time and the right place, because they're looking at addiction and they're like, oh, shit, look at this.
There's a meeting directory.
I can find those classes.
God?
I can find those classes now.
Yeah, no, I can't think. I mean, I know I have. It's just right now my brain is not functioning. The one I keep thinking of, and it's not exactly a right time, right place thing, because I was technically sponsoring her, sort of. I wasn't really at that moment. But I happened to be, I was with Becky at Barbara's house, and the gal called me, completely hammered, wanted to go to Charter, wanted to get sober.
Is that the one that I went with you?
No, you were not with me. Oh. And I had my very first cell phone at the time, and this is before you couldn't talk and drive, so I probably almost caused like 15 accidents trying to find this woman. She had no idea where she was. She knew the street and what the apartment complex looked like.
Shelly going to find a place where the girl doesn't know where she's at.
Yeah.
Shelly on the road doesn't know where she's at.
Right. But it was in Covina. And I drove around for 45 minutes on the phone with her, while she's out in front of this apartment complex, and finally I see her, she's like more or less face down in the gutter.
Ah.
Put her in my car. We had to pull over like three times so she could puke, because you're not puking in my car. And just to get to Charter to have them take her to the emergency room because she was too loaded.
Too hammered.
But she did eventually get into Charter. They sent her back to Charter once she detoxed and she was there for 30 days. But I don't know if that's a right thing, right time, but I happened to be right around where she was when she called me. And she hadn't called me for a few weeks, so it was out of the blue.
The lesson that I always get in all stories like that is... answer your phone when it rings.
I have my phone in my pocket.
Because there's so many people who don't.
Yeah.
You know, I've got people that I've called for years on the program. They never answer their phone. They always call me back.
Right.
But they never answer their phone. And I'm just like, answer your frickin' phone.
Yeah, that's true. That reminds me, because there was a gal. She moved away. I don't know where she went. And I can't remember her name. But she called me one day. And I wasn't even her sponsor. She'd called like 20 people. And she finally called, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I answered the phone because I wasn't expecting a call from her. I gave her my number, you know, umpty weeks ago. And she said, oh, thank God, because I called you because, you know, if I made it through my whole list, I was probably going to drink. And I'm just glad you answered. Nobody else answered. And I'm like, wow.
I had several. But one of them was, it was the Thursday night meeting. This was years ago, years and years and years ago, because Matt D and I we show up on Thursday because he's the secretary and I'm whatever I was, the treasurer, coffee maker, so I don't know, even know what it was. And we're sitting there and we're the only two there. And we're sitting and we're sitting and we're just talking and laughing. And, you know, we're saying, how long should we stay? And Matt's like, well, you know, Matt had about a year more than me. And Matt's like, you know, I think we should stay longer. So we sit and sit. Suddenly, bam, the door opens. This guy goes, oh, my God, I knew that you guys would be here. And we're like, there you go. Another one is I'm on a cruise. And they have a thing on the directory in the cruise thing.
Was that the one we went on from... Yes. Mom and Dad's thing? Okay, yeah, I remember.
And there's a thing in a directory that says, friends of Bill W. meet in this room. So I go there. There's the thing you open, you read all the stuff out of the...
A meeting?
Yes.
Format.
There's a format sitting on the table. I go in there. I'm the only guy there.
How many
figure
women?
I'll just sit here for a while. Guy comes in. Oh, this is awesome. Now, I went back there to another meeting again. There was nobody there but me. But, you know, I happen to go there. I happen to sit there and stay there. And then the guy comes in. Oh, yeah, man, there's a lot of booze on this cruise and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you just never know. You just never know when it's going to be the right time, right place.
Well, I think we were right time, right place several times on Thanksgiving evening.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Thursday night Covina meeting, we had that one Thursday that we were all there, and the AA meeting three doors down.
Completely shut down.
Was shut down for the evening because it was Thanksgiving, because nobody ever drank on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and people were coming over from that meeting to our meeting.
Well, we had the one meeting, though, where we were pretty much done, and that one woman came through the door.
Oh, okay.
And she had her first... sober Thanksgiving with her family, and it hadn't gone particularly well. And she came through the door and was like, thank God you guys are here. She was, going to the AA meeting.
And it wasn't there.
And I needed to share. So she shared for, you know, a few minutes. But, yeah, that's just, you know, we could have easily... Because it was the three of us, and I think there were like five of us there. And it was just... We could have had that meeting... anywhere, because there was five of us that would have probably been together at some point anyway. So
I think all of this speaks to an interesting phenomenon that goes along with the attraction rather than promotion thing, because it's not like we run around wearing placards that say, I got sober, ask me how. You know, I mean, it's not like we're wandering around the streets looking to accost innocent drunks and addicts. But there... we must send out weird pheromones because we find each other. You know, people that need us find us. And I'm always willing to talk about it. I'm always willing to stop what I'm doing to share with somebody or give them a card. Or I've handed out I don't know how many directories over the years. But I think it's a weird phenomenon, and it's got to be a God shot kind of a thing because it's not. We're not advertising. We're not promoting. Nope. We're just living our daily lives, and somebody looks at us and says, "I'm going to ask this person a question." They may not even know why they're asking. They just felt like we were the people to talk to, and it turned out we were. You know.
Is it possible there might be a higher power at work?
I know. It's God's direction. I know. Well,
and
it's
me,
amazing.
You know,
or it could
like,
just be a coincidence.
Possibly.
I'm the least anonymous person ever.
True.
You know, it's like the guy says, "How'd you quit drinking?" I'm walking out the door. AA. The guy's like, Oh, shit. I need to talk to this dude.
And we were literally kept walking because Bruce just kind of threw it out there like it was a joke.
Matter of fact, I talk to people at work all the time. I was sharing. I just shared that I was sober the other day at work.
Sharing is
caring. The gal who was buying a bed says, "I'm a friend of Bill W. too." Really? How long do you have? 11 years. She was in the right time at the right place. I said, "What are you doing on Thursday?" She goes, "Am I speaking?" I said,
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are. So, Shelley, what would your final words on right place at the right time be?
I don't know. Go to Mark. Those aren't my final words. Make Mark talk first.
Mark?
Suit up and show up. God will put you where you belong.
Oh, good one.
Well, you took mine. Now, I would say, you know, we need to keep our anonymity, but don't keep it so close that people can't find you.
Okay, that's good. I think it's pretty clear it's better to be in the right place at the right time than the wrong place at the wrong time.
Jizz.
Shelley.
Or the wrong place at the right time.
There's a really cool t-shirt thing.
That would be terminallyuniqueapparel.com. You can go and buy interesting graphic t-shirts with funny recovery things on them that Bruce has designed. And it directly benefits the show. So if you wanted to do that, that would be great.
TerminallyUniqueApparel.com.
Yes.
I heard that you can get some recovery jewelry.
Yes, at my Etsy shop. If you go to Etsy and look for Mimi's Magic Room, or I think you can just type my name in because I think it'll come up that way too.
Instagram too, right?
I'm on Instagram as well at Mimi's Magic Room. You can find my recovery bracelets that I've started making.
Terminally Unique Apparel is also on Instagram. Mark, there's a place that's our fabulous sponsor that has carried our shirts.
There's a place
as well.
For us.
Nice.
That would be my 12-step store. They have a fantastic store in West Hollywood that you can go to if you're in the Southern California area. If not, you can go to my12stepstore.com. And you can find all the recovery-related items you may want to get your hands on for whatever reason. They have a fantastic book selection. They've got every chip, I think, ever made.
Yeah, they do.
Their chip selection's great. And just gifts and apparel and all that stuff.
They are like the gift store to the celebrity sobriety group as well. Apparently, they're... And a bit of every purchase goes to help sponsor people to get into recovery facilities of various types, too, which is very, very cool. Shelley, people listen to the show.
Anyway, that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it.
Oh,
but if
wait
you
a
could.
Shelley, we've got friends back east and in the Inland Empire.
No, we don't.
Got a.
I'm in the Inland Empire. We have no friends there.
12stepgazette.com and Step12magazine.com. That's step two. The second one is the Inland Empire and Southern California edition of those publications. You can read them. There's lots of great articles, and you can subscribe.
Now, Mark, people listen to the show.
Really?
Awesome.
Thanks. We appreciate you listening to the show. And however you find the show, whatever notification you may get or anything you may do to listen to our show, we thank you very much. We do ask that you go to our site at recovery101.net. And by the way, when you go there, it will take you to our Podomatic site. But when you go to recovery101.net, all the sponsors that we mention will have a clickable link on our site. And so if you're at our site and want to click through, that would be the most efficient way to find the people we talk about. So
it's an easy way.
Yeah, but while you're there, you can click on a show and listen. If you're not yet a member of Podomatic, you'll have an opportunity to join. It's free.
And fun.
And when you join Podomatic, you can then like and comment. If you'd like to leave show suggestions for topics you would like to hear about, leave them in the latest show. It would be awesome. And on the right-hand side of the main page, you're going to see a little spot that a bunch of lists of followers. At the top, it says become a follower. If you click on that every time you go on the site, you will become a follower, and we would appreciate that because that does help our demographics for our show.
Even if you're already a follower.
That's right.
Follow,
you can be
follow,
a new
follow,
follower
follow
every time. And so you can like, comment, and add us to playlists for all your rock and party needs.
If you are Facebook friendly, it's super easy to join Podomatic. You can click log in with Facebook, and it'll log you right in. They do not spam you. They will send you a single email for each show that you follow to let you know when there's a new episode up. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, as thousands have done. If you want to be more secretive about your recovery, you can join the Recovery 101 secret group.
Shh.
Now, you won't be able to find it.
Why?
Because it's secret.
Ah.
But
so there.
If you message us at the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page, or you message Shelley Burnett or Bill Piper, they can get you added to that group. We've got an email address, which is recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you'd like to do a jingle for us, that's the address to send it to, like Noah did, and Fran and Brandon and Teddy and Variety Pack and Phil and the Harmonics and a Variety Pack of other people. If you send us a jingle, make sure it has Recovery 101 or Recovery 101 Radio in it. If you want to mention the hosts, you can, but you don't have to. We will use your jingle at least once and probably more. You can also send topic suggestions and things to that. If you want to comment, though, it's better to do what Mark said and go to the recovery101.net page and do it there. We've got videos at youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We don't, as you can tell. Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
Rusty Golden.
Rusty Golden. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Things I did because I didn't know about this life. I'm living right now, and it's all crystal clear. It took where I was going to finally get me here. I've been found, ooh, and set straight on my way. And now I thank the good Lord. Now, oh, tomorrow
rockin' roll.